From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Before Toots Thielemans, the humble harmonica was the pocket cargo of children, convicts, and cowboys. But ever since the Belgian-born musician landed on American soil 55 years ago, he's almost single-handedly made the chromatic harmonica a force in the world of jazz. Toots Thielemans has shared the stage with almost every jazz great of the last half century, from Charlie Parker to George Shearing and Jaco Pastorius. But you don't have to be a jazz fan to have heard the sound of Toots. His music has graced the movie soundtrack of Midnight Cowboy. Quincy Jones, Paul Simon, and Billy Joel have all put the Toots sound to work. And almost every child under 40 knows his jaunty opening theme to Sesame Street. Toots Thielemans has been the perennial winner of Downbeat Magazine's poll for Best Miscellaneous Instrument Performer. But the late jazz trumpeter Clifford Brown once said the way Toots plays the harmonica, they shouldn't call it a miscellaneous instrument. Quincy Jones says of his music, he goes for the heart and makes you cry. Toots Thielemans is performing with the pianist Kenny Werner tonight and tomorrow night at Scholars Jazz Club in Cambridge, Massachusetts, if you're in the area. We talked with him this afternoon. Welcome, Toots Thielemans.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
you. Pleasure being here.
It's so great to have you in the studio. Here you are, you're turning 80 this year, you're putting out CDs, you're performing. Do you never stop?
Oh, boy. This is a little bit of a promotion for our new project with Kenny Werner. We were already in Cleveland, in Albany, and St. Paul, and now here.
You're all and over. You're making
next,
it happen.
Next week, Los Angeles, and then back to Belgium, sleep one night, and go to South Africa.
I hope.
Other than that, the business is bad. I mean, the
right. Well, it's great that you still got them coming in at your age. You know, Toots, I was looking back over the music you've performed, and I have to admit that I had not had you on my CD shelf, but I realized when I saw these performances that you are almost the soundtrack of a big part of my life and that of many other Americans. You showed up in so many places with your harmonica, with your whistling, setting the tone, the mood, the background. It's incredible how much. I look back, and there you are in the score from Midnight Cowboy.
Yes.
There you are at the beginning of Sesame Street, the harmonica in
the
Sesame
first
Street.
Show, yeah.
And there you are, of course, with your famous bluesette, which we'll hear a little later,
well,
but it's a song that everybody knows. And then for a while
it was never a hit, but became a standard.
Absolutely a standard, and we'll listen to that a little bit later. How did you go from being a young man in wartime Belgium to a young man in love with this music in the very heart of American music, sort of making the soundtrack for America?
Well, to put it very simply, this is the communication power mm-hmm. and the contaminating power of a thing called the blue note, the African-American message, you know. I am so indebted, and I'm totally, my first contamination is when I heard Louis Armstrong. That was during occupied Belgium in those days, 42.
And so you were a teenager.
Well, I was 20 years old.
Okay,
already,
20
you know,
by then.
And trying to become a mathematics teacher.
Now, is this when the war ended?
And no, the war ended 45.
How did you hear Louis Armstrong then in the 40s during the war?
No, there were records. We had mm-hmm. all the recordings, access to all the jazz recordings until 1940, because no American records could come in to Belgium occupied Belgium. And we could listen very carefully. It's played soft volume to the British radio.
So this is after the German troops came into Brussels, and you would listen, I suppose, at night very softly to the BBC.
Or buy records. There were still records.
Mm-hmm.
And
there
was Louis Armstrong with the Mills Brothers.
Right.
Four spirituals. Carry me back, you know, that sort of thing. And oh, beautiful, Louis. And he still is my number one guru. Yeah.
There you were, 20 years old, listening to Louis Armstrong. The war was raging. You were in Belgium. You had not really gotten into the harmonica so much yet. You were looking to be a guitarist, weren't you?
No. I started as a kid. My folks had a sidewalk cafe. And was 3-4 years old, I played the accordion a little.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I played the songs for my parents, what I heard. And those old...
Let's hear it.
I played on the harmonica instead of the accordion.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course. And those songs like that. And
there's a sidewalk cafe
in
Belgium.
Brussels, in very popular neighborhood, like our Lower East Side, Brussels,
I would compare. You put us right
and
there.
And that was a sensation, I hear. The traffic, there was electric, the tramways, you know?
Yep.
And they had the, you know, when little Jean, that's my name, Jean-Baptiste Tielemans, and when I played, there was, the traffic had to stop.
How did Jean-Baptiste become Toots?
That's again... The power of the above-mentioned African-American. And also in these days, when I became good, I mean, at the professional level to play, you know, in Belgium in a jazz band or in a dance show type thing, there was a little group called Le Jazz Hot, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hot jazz.
And their guitar player ran away with the boss's wife, so they needed another guitar player. And I was already getting the word was out, the grapevine had it, that there's this little kid, this new guy, you know, he don't look so smart, but he can play.
He can make it happen.
Yes, that was the saying. And he shows up on time. I was right away I had the punctuality reputation. And they said, I went to audition, and what's your name? Jean Tielemans. That's a typical French name. Yeah. Flemish. Tielemans is Flemish, and Jean is... Oh, that don't make it. That don't make it.
You
don't
play jazz. It's just not going
to
work.
On the poster, Jean Tielemans, to play jazz, and you play... In those days, I was very... I was already up to date in 1946 on Charlie Parker, partly... And especially on the guitarist with Nat King Cole Trio, Oscar Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I followed that.
But Toots, where did that one come from?
And then, the drummer said, see, again, we read already, that was after the war then, we read Esquire magazine, we had the jazz magazines.
Right.
Here, you know, and we knew who played third trumpet with Tommy Dorsey. And the first saxophone with Benny Goodman was Toots Mondello.
And there was
a trumpet player who wrote also music for Billie Holiday, Toots Camarata.
And it sounded good to you.
Not to me. Yeah, I had nothing to do. The drummer said, hey, on va t'appeler Toots. We will call you Toots. And it got on the poster and still is.
And before you know it, you had made your way to the United States, and you had brought along with you your harmonica, and you had taken that harmonica and begun to assert how this very humble instrument with so much folk legacy behind it could work its way into the heart of jazz. I want to jump right into a 1953 recording of Body and Soul.
Oh, that was with George Shearing. Yes, that was done in Los Angeles. And that number, that standard, that great melody, Johnny Green.
There you go.
Recorded. Oh, I was fast in those days.
Let's hear just how fast. It's Toots Thielemans, Body and Soul, 1953. The harmonica comes to jazz. ¶¶ Toots Thielemans, who's with us in the studio, listening back and just laughing
later.
And saying 50 years ago, looking at
the speed.
I was
done in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and wow, did you work
with George Shearing Quintet. I was where I played mostly the guitar. I kept the low register melody note on the guitar. And once in a while, I played
the harmonica.
Wait, play a few more seconds when the break when we go fast.
Let's
wait,
hear.
Pretty soon. 5 seconds. Now.
Okay. That's 50 years later, and it's still got him going. That is just fantastic. What did the gang think when you pulled out the harmonica? Were they ready to see the harmonica in American jazz?
May I tell an anecdote?
Please.
In 1947, I came to the States with my uncle Theophile, the brother of my father. Mm. Listen to this. I can't play that fast anymore.
Just can't stop
no,
listening to
listen,
1953.
You put up a good one.
The hot jazz is right,
And we were in Miami.
Yeah.
And there was the air of Straighten Up and Nat King Cole, you know, in every...
Fly Right.
In every Straighten Up and Fly Right, Route 66 and all that. Mona Lisa. And I had my harmonica in my pocket. And in every restaurant, there was a trio.
Yeah.
Most piano, bass, and guitar. And somebody sang. And I finally got up the nerve to buy a drink to the guitar, to the musician. Say, well, I'm from Belgium. I play the harmonica. Yeah. Can I play? And then I was allowed to sit in Miami.
Thank God you had the courage. Thank goodness.
The nerve, of course.
Yeah.
And in that restaurant, there was the very famous, legendary, not then already, but now, Bill Gottlieb.
Mm.
Very famous jazz photographer.
Mm-hmm.
He has shots of Ella Fitzgerald, you know, those very...
All the greats.
And what are you doing? Well, I'm here for a few days. And when you come to New York, okay, call me. I'll take you to the street. Still, there was the... 52nd Street was still almost on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was into talking about how did the harmonica get. And in one of the clubs, the Three Deuces, the Howard McGee All-Stars were Hank Jones, Percy Heath, Milt Jackson, all my people I knew from the records.
And here they were in Manhattan. Yeah.
And Bill goes up to Hank Jones.
Uh-huh.
He's still alive, Hank, I remember. And I got this guy from Belgium, plays the harmonica, and the whole band, boo,
yeah,
Belgium, what's
it?
Belgium, you know, what is that, and harmonica, and yes, what do you want to play? And I knew I was up to date.
Yeah.
And then in those days, one of the exam pieces, only two bars I will play, was the third and the fourth bar of I Can't Get Started. So I play the chromatic sequence.
Let's hear.
And then you have to show yourself now.
So let's just keep it going.
You know? And then the
and there
band,
you were, you
I
were
was,
off. How did they react?
Yeah, they said, wow. You know, and then a career is born. Yeah, I sat in the piano for the... with Lenny Tristano Trio, and with how, that's how I broke the ice.
And there you've got it all, how a young man makes his way in, brings an instrument that wasn't part of the scene, makes it part of the scene. Toots Thielemans, it's great talking with you. Play us out into this break. Give us a little more on that harmonica of yours.
Okay, I finished that.
Just jump right in. Talking with jazz harmonica player extraordinaire Toots Thielemans. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight with the great jazz harmonica player and whistler Toots Thielemans. His music is everywhere. It's music you don't even know you know. Here from 1963, Bluesette by Toots Thielemans.
Bluesette.
Toots Thielemans, you've said that Bluesette was your pension plan. 1963.
Well, my social security number.
Right. It's but the standard.
It's a combination. It's a calling card, carte de visite in French, they call it. Mm-hmm. Because it's got the blues and it's got my childhood music, the musette. Blues plus musette is bluesette.
How did you decide to whistle, to make the whistle be the instrument here?
I play the guitar, if you notice, and I put the whistle an octave higher. When we were with Shearing, you know, on those long trips, I kept whistling. And the bass player, Al McKibben, he lives in Las Vegas now, I understand. And he said, "Man, you whistle better than you play." And then that was the beginning of stereo, you know?
Sure.
And I was in the studio with Phil Ramone, who is now the celebrated producer of the Frank Sinatra recordings.
Right.
And also, we're still friends. But I said, "Phil, can you put a mic in front of my mouth? I'm going to whistle." And that's the way it happened. You know, you hear the guitar on one side and the whistle on the other side. And this is here, Bluesette version with the Quincy Jones production.
And, you know, we can hear, even here, you describe how you started with the accordion, you got under the harmonica. Even in this song, there's still that kind of funny combination of cheeriness and melancholy that you hear in that old European accordion. And here it is, even in your whistle, in American jazz.
You know, this... Once in New York, and I get a call for an interview. Where does the real Toots Thielemans feel at home? And without thinking too much, I said, between a smile and a tear. And that song, all I do is not far from the smile, not far from the tear. In painting, it's a pastel color. Pastel is a mixture. Two, it's not blue, it's not yellow. It's the two of them, or red and black, or whatever blue, red. No, what am I saying? Black and white give gray, right?
Yeah.
Gray is smile and tear.
There you are, between a smile and a tear. What is that? Is that your European childhood?
Is it the '50s?
It fit the time so perfectly. You know that from the way Bluesette was received and played millions of times.
It built up slowly. It never was a hit. I went to show it to the publisher Lou Levy years ago. He used to be married to one of the Andrews sisters. I'm talking about 1962. Mm-hmm. I said, "Lou, I think I have a song for you." And I put it in the publisher's office, you know.
Yeah.
And he reacted, "That's going to be a standard. It'll never be a hit, but it will put all your kids through college." That's a typical Jewish expression, you know.
She called it pretty well.
Your son will be a doctor with that song, you know, or something like that.
Right, you know? Great. And you said this is with Quincy Jones. How did you come to know Quincy Jones?
Oh, that's Frank Rosolino playing the trombone.
On the trombone, right.
He died. He was a very funny man, but he killed himself. He suicide. And Quincy I was already in New York, part of the scene, so to speak, in the early 50s. And then, 53, 54, there started to become a lot of talk about this young cat from Seattle that writes great arrangements. And it was Quincy, and we became friends. We met. In fact, he brought me to Hollywood for his first movie, the one with Cary Grant. And he calls me Stink.
Stink.
Because he refers to... Because when I play, I emit the aroma of the black person who needs a shower.
When you
funk,
play...
Funk, they call it.
Right.
Funk.
Yeah.
So many people don't know what funk means. It's such funky. But that's... direct from, say, the African-American dialogue or something. And he always says, I have to call him, it's his birthday. And he said, "Toots, you're from Belgium, okay, but I think your ma spoke to a brother." You're not, he meant by that.
You get,
that
right, you get a route to Africa.
I have
there.
That.
A little tone
and
of Africa.
There's no explanation
music,
for that.
Your, yeah.
You know, you have it or you don't.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know? And so, I'm grateful that I have almost stamp of sympathy or approval from the black musicians.
Well, it's, it runs through your music.
No,
and as you
no,
said, there's a debt there.
They
there.
Call it soul, but whatever it is, I close my eyes and play and it comes out.
And here we are now. Almost 40 years after Bluesette came out, and you're still bringing out CDs. You've got your latest CD with
Kenny Werner
on piano.
Oh, can we play one track from that right now?
I want to play, it's a Chick Corea tune, Windows.
Yes,
I just love this.
Yes.
This is Toots Thielemans and Kenny Werner.
Yes.
Toots Thielemans, jazz harmonica player, there with pianist Kenny Werner. This is a Chick Corea tune, Windows. Toots, you recorded this in Belgium.
Yes, we have a fan. and in within his publishing and printing, but within his factory he has a space that can be used as a studio. And he brought friends together. We played for a live audience, but they listened silently.
That's terrific. You've recorded
well
with everybody, George Shearing, Ella Fitzgerald, Quincy Jones. We talked about Bill Evans, Natalie Cole, Pat Metheny, Paul Simon, Billy Joel. I mean, whether it's jazz or pop, you're buried in so much American music. And I don't mean buried in a disappearing way. I mean buried in a way that carries the music.
They call me, you know. I don't say, "Hey, Pat, can I play with you?" He called me. I played a little bit on his own record, of course. Bill Evans, the same thing. I had met Bill Evans in the early 50s when he came to listen to George Shearing in Chicago and said, "Oh, we should play. And we wound up 25 years later that he invited me.
Yeah.
On this. For me, it's an important record. Affinity, it's called. It's a Bill Evans record.
That's a great one. You know, you've been playing the harmonica for so long now, and I know you started your life out with respiratory problems. You've had asthma. How does a harmonica player have asthma and still make it work? How does that come together?
Well, these days there's a little better medicine, those puffs and those things. Mm-hmm. But when you have asthma, you know.
Sure.
And you have to play a long note. And the harmonica is inhaled or exhale.
That's right.
This. That's blow,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's E. And F is inhale.
There's the inhale.
So, say, if you have a classical piece of music, mm-hmm, where a long note is written.
It's required.
And it's, of course, you don't mess with Johann Sebastian, you
That's
know?
Right. You play it the way it
we
is.
Play it with Kenny in the club, and in on the record, we play. You hear the breath control? Mm-hmm. Now I have no asthma. Suppose that's Sicilienne by Johann Sebastian.
Right.
My good buddy.
Sure.
Asthma, right? D is inhale. You know, I'm exaggerating. But
with jazz, you can improvise, you can break it up.
You play Sophisticated Lady, right? Mm-hmm, all long notes. Without asthma. Now with asthma.
And there.
You can, well, exaggerate.
But the way the man made it work, even
and
with
that's
asthma.
Where I'm lucky. I can improvise.
And be in the jazz world.
And still have asthma.
You look at the harmonica and how it's just been, seems to have been around forever. Everybody loves it one way or another. It's so intimate because it is such a direct expression of human breath.
You play, you blow, and how many inches is that? 1 inch?
Yeah, that's it. Between the lips and the air coming out the other side.
So a piano player hits the note and the sound box for the acoustic comes for, or
it can be 5 feet away on a grand piano.
A saxophone or a trumpet, it's always...
There's always distance.
And it's almost like kissing somebody you love, you know?
Yeah.
What can I play? I play a little bit. Can I?
Sure, please. We love it.
Etc. That's my funny ballad.
Move over Miles Davis and Oscar Peterson.
No, you brought
the harmonica right in there and you made it work. And you know, there's something about the intake on the harmonica. You can feel the drawing in of that breath, the human need, because you need the oxygen there.
Yes.
And it brings that need into the music, I've always felt. It's got that kind of sense of, I've got to have it, and it makes the music have the feeling, too.
Let's say, I bought one. My first harmonica I bought when I was 18. And I'm 79. That's 62 years that I play that thing.
The same one?
No.
Okay, good.
And I have a guy.
You must have been through a lot.
I have a man in Minnesota who repairs them and tunes them. For those who think a harmonica is a toy, this one I'm showing you is a three-octave instrument in C, has my name on it, mellow tone, made by the Hohner factory. Mm-hmm. And it's pitched the A. They can pitch it, tune it like a piano. It's state-of-the-art with the computer. This guy is a big gardener in Minneapolis.
I guess you know that harmonica pretty well. Pretty well. By this
well,
time.
It's three octaves, you know.
That's good.
It can cry, you know.
Play us that Sesame Street tune that everybody knows.
If you are...
Okay.
Make some noise, clapping noise. You good?
There we are.
Yeah, that was done... they still use it, I understand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whenever the first show of Sesame Street came, they called me, can you come and play the theme? Yeah. I made $37. Watch out. No, it was educational TV.
Even
Bill Cosby
too.
And the big names who went to talk to the Muppets or whatever.
Right.
They got union scale, whatever the union scale was, you know. But afterwards, they gave me a little extra bonus.
Yeah, I guess they did. Well, they deserve it. I mean, that is the sound of growing up for a generation and more of Americans
the
now.
The people who were 5 years old in 1960 are what now, 35? They have kids.
Their kids are listening to it. Maybe their grandkids. We're going to go into another break here with Toots Thielemans. Let's listen to Ne me quitte pas.
Ne me quitte pas.
Quitte pas.
That's Jacques Brel. And that means, do not leave me, that's French. Mm. And the poetry of this is, we went to the same schools in Brussels, but I never met him when he was alive.
This is performed by Toots and Bert Vandenbrink.
Vandenbrink, yes, a blind pianist from Holland.
at Steelmans, we feel the emotionality in this song. Is that you? Is it the French? It's Jacques Brel? Where does all that emotion come from?
I try to express the lyrics. You know, there's My Funny Valentine, for instance, is beautiful. You don't, if you start to play it fast, My Funny Valentine, it don't make any sense. Here, Ne me quitte pas. Ne me quitte pas. Do not leave me. Je veux être l'ombre de ta main.
Do not leave me.
No, I want to be the shadow of your hand. Do not leave me. The shadow of your dog. Do not leave me. Oh, this guy he wasn't fooling around.
No, he wasn't.
Jacques Brel, he became a world star in French speaking. Well, of course he didn't.
Well,
I don't think he ever came, or maybe once in New York.
But who can resist it? If you know a little love and a little loss, it's got to speak to you. We're talking with Toots Thielemans, the harmonica man. And here, over Jacques Brel's Ne me quitte pas.
You pronounced it well.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking in the studio tonight with Toots Thielemans. Here's Toots Thielemans and Kenny Werner on piano and synthesizer with Charlie Chaplin's Smile. Toots Thielemans and Kenny Werner with Charlie Chaplin's music and lyrics, Smile.
Smile, yes. I never met Mr. Chaplin, of course, but imagine the derby hat and the cane.
Toots Thielemans, you don't read music.
Oh, I know enough to... I read slowly.
But it's not what you made your career on. We feel your heart in it, right?
No, but I know every note play.
Yeah.
To what chord it belongs and all that, of course. But I never had the schooling of a violinist or a classical musician that can read immediately.
Right.
You know?
But what I wanted to ask you is, here you are, you're almost 80, you've built a career on this little tiny instrument and the emotion and musicianship that you pour through it.
It's a combination. It's the man behind or in front of the instrument, what you want to call. And I never had a big hit, but I did so many things, you know. Oh, listen to Kenny here.
That's gorgeous.
So, okay, he did Sesame Street and Bluesette.
Yeah.
Never a big hit, but he...
Always
Sesame
there.
Street. Oh, that's the guy. You know?
Yeah.
So, man, in Belgium, I'm more visible on the media. I'm more seen on... People know me in the street.
The king made you a baron. I see the ring right on your finger here.
Yes.
Our baron, Toots Thielemans.
Baron, Toots Thielemans. Toots Thielemans.
Yeah, that's great.
In Sweden, a nervous starlet had to introduce me. He said, "And nu," in Swedish, I speak Swedish. Onus Kavihar, Belgiska munspel, sensation, tits.
Our man tits.
I couldn't play. You can't laugh and
no,
play the harmonica.
Not the harmonica.
You know, but you see, it's so many things. But in Belgium, to say, or places where I'm known from TV and newspapers, and people know me, know my face better than the music.
Mm-hmm.
Here in America, it's the opposite.
Absolutely the other way
you
around.
You just define me like that, and I'm part of the core of what's heard, the diet, or whatever you call it.
The soundtrack of the last half of the century. And now, in your latest recording with Kenny Werner, you're really playing to something longer, slower. Is this a matter of how your heart is changing? Is it a matter of how your body is changing?
These are great questions, my dear friend. But I had the discovery of my tearing power.
You're tearing, as in
the
tears.
Making people cry. When they asked me to play Brel in Belgium, they wanted to celebrate the anniversary of his passing. And in Belgium, on TV, all the French guys would be there, the stars, Aznavour and all those. And I said, everybody will want to do Jacques Ne Me Quitte Pas. May I do it?
Please,
I asked.
And of course, we heard you do it.
And
give us a little more.
See. See, and I didn't say the words, but after that, the audience, they cried, the public in the street, tu m'as fait pleurer, you made me cry.
What about new music, Toots Thielemans?
Yeah, there's no generation as an exclusive on emotion. To me, I listen to everything. I'm open. My goosebumps are always on the alert, you know. As I said, I know with whom I've played, but I want to, like with Kenny, is a new inspiration for me now already for a while. But I listen to everything. I heard some guy from Nashville playing the dobro with a modern jazz approach. You know, and I find that all exciting, and I want to bite into what's happening, you know.
Well, you've been biting into that harmonica for a long time. Toots Thielemans is playing two sets in the Boston area this weekend at Scholars Jazz Club in Cambridge. You can get the details at scholarsjazz.com or at our website, onpointradio.org. Let's listen to one more cut from your new CD with Kenny Werner, Toots Thielemans and Kenny Werner. Of course, here's your old original inspiration, Louis Armstrong's piece,
yes.
What a Wonderful World.
Can I speak about Louis?
Sure, please.
A couple of months before Mr. Armstrong passed away, I did a commercial, my 28-second commercial. Chrysler Plymouth! And then we shook hands a few times over the 50 years, since 51. So he still is my number one, all-time guru.
Let's listen. Toots Thielemans, Somewhere Between a Smile and a Tear. Thank you so much for being
with
us.
You're very welcome. You asked good questions. You did your homework. You prepared. Sometimes, you know, you have a lot of those interviews and, you're the guy, you know, and that's about it.
I could sit here all night, but we don't get to, but thank you so much for coming in.
Thank. And I'm grateful to be alive, to talk about all that stuff. And
keep playing it, Toots
Thielemans. Many of my gurus and the 11th passed away. Jaco Pastorius passed away. Charlie Parker passed away.
We're glad you're still with us.
I'm still here.
You're still here. Toots Thielemans, thank you. In a moment, fusing gospel and jazz in the 1930s, this is On Point. On Point audio archaeologist Ned Connors digs up sounds and songs from the past for our show. Tonight he has a profile of the Golden Gate Quartet, an African-American singing group that fused gospel and jazz, thrilling black and white audiences in FDR's America.
Well, now you better run.
Run when I say somebody's calling you, and you better run.
Run when I say somebody's. In the winter of 1939, John Hammond, legendary talent scout for Columbia Records, brought a gospel quartet to Carnegie Hall to perform in the second Spirituals to Swing concert. Hammond had staged a similar concert the year before. The idea was to bring black and white artists together to explore swing's roots in the blues, work songs, and spirituals, and to present it to a broader and predominantly white audience.
Lord, I cannot wait for you, 'cause the Bible declares you a hit, man, and what the Bible declares is true. Well, you better run.
Outside of Norfolk, Virginia, Hammond found an a cappella quartet, originally called the Golden Gate Jubilee Singers, that would soon find a national audience, penetrating the pop charts with a string of irresistible gospel tunes done up in swing. Renamed the Golden Gate Quartet, they melded the jazz vocal style of the Mills Brothers with Bible stories, and in the process forever changed black gospel music. The gospel quartet was an old tradition by the 30s. The Fisk University Jubilee Singers toured the country and the world in the 1870s and were still recording under that name in the teens. But it was a very formal sound, out of touch with a world where radio had brought jazz to every parlor. Here's the Fisk Jubilee Singers' 1915 Columbia recording of Couldn't Hear Nobody Pray.
Oh, they couldn't hear nobody pray.
The tension between the secular and the sacred in black music has been a powerful dynamic that continues to the present day. The long-established black vocal quartet tradition took a fascinating turn when the Mills Brothers showed up in the Victor Studios in 1929. Originally called Four Boys and a Kazoo, because all the musical instruments except the kazoo were human voices, they later added a guitar, became Four Boys and a Guitar. There had never been any vocal music like this.
It seemed to drag a tune right through the knees of a brand new suit of easy breezes. Coney Island was born round the bay.
The leap to apply jazz style to gospel music wasn't a big one. Jimmy Lunsford, who went on to form a Midwest Territory band of legendary precision and power, and himself a 1926 Fisk alumnus, formed the Chickasaw Syncopators late in the 20s while he was teaching high school in Memphis. Here in this 1934 recording of In Dat Morning, Lunsford set a preacher describing the morning of Judgment Day against an orchestral backdrop of the blues.
How can we live in sin and fear its Savior's love? My brothers and sisters, my text is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or Genesis, or Revelation somewhere. And it's all about that morning. In that morning, that's going to be a great change.
It's hard to imagine a time in American life when the commingling of black and white musicians was a source of discomfort. But in 1938, when Hammond brought white and black musicians together, he couldn't find a sponsor. He eventually found one. New Masses, the arts and literary journal of the Communist Party USA, and a magazine with sizable readership among Depression-era intellectuals. In 1941, the Golden Gate Quartet performed at FDR's inaugural gala and recorded a string of popular spirituals into the war years. In 1944, in a remarkable blend of the secular and the religious, they produced Stalin Wasn't Stalin, a story of Satan fashioning the personality of Adolf Hitler in hell to let him loose in the world to do his bidding. The song pits Joseph Stalin and our wartime Russian allies against the Nazis, a recasting of the Allied Axis conflict in terms as old as Genesis.
Then he mixed his lies and hatred with fire and brimstone. Then the devil sat upon it. That's how Adolf was born. Now Adolf got the notion that he was the master race, and he swore he'd bring new order and put mankind in its place. So he set his scheme in motion and was winning everywhere until he up and got the notion for to kick that Russian bear. Well, now Stalin wasn't stalling when he told the beast of Berlin that he...
The Golden Gate Quartet continued recording into the 1950s, even trying their hand, with limited success, at rhythm and blues and rock and roll. But late in the 50s, while on a State Department tour, the group got a taste of Europe, and Europe welcomed them with open arms. They decided to settle in Paris, where their gospel repertoire can still be heard in the current lineup. Gospel groups from the Blind Boys of Alabama to the Dixie Hummingbirds can trace their sound to the extraordinary vocal and rhythmic innovations of the Golden Gate Quartet.
Then that bear smacked the Fuhrer with the mighty armored paw, and Adolf broke all records running...
Ned Connors is On Point's audio archaeologist. He lives in Barrington, Rhode Island.
Told the people everywhere that if they couldn't hit the Fuhrer, God don't hit that Russian bear.
On Point is produced by Micheline Boudreau, Meghna Chakrabarty, Nate DeMeo, Eileen Imada, John Roberts, James Ross, Keith Shields, and Karen Schiffman, with help from Darren Manoogian, Jamie Kirschick, Samantha Sodikson, and Laura Tenguso. Our senior producer is Graham Griffith. On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
And they set the Fuhrer running with their ships and planes and tanks.
This is WBUR.